May we pray. Father, we come in the precious name of your loving Son, Jesus. We come, Lord, on behalf of young Kelly, who has been wheeled out of here and on her way to the hospital. And we pause at this moment in order that we might lift her up toward you, that you will be in the midst of her care, that guide her safely over the dangerous highways and allow her to receive the necessary care that will be able to bring her back to herself, and she'll be able to rejoin us and be able to give God the glory. We thank you for those who were there at her attendance and giving her care and enabling her to be safely turned over to the medical professionals who came to receive her. So we bless you for allowing us to have the opportunity to be of service to thee. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for. Amen.
Amen.
For our scripture, this morning, we invite your attention to the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. Book of 2 Kings, 4th chapter, verse number 1. These words are recorded. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear Jehovah. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two children to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And thou shalt go in and shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. They brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou in thy sons of the rest. May the Lord continue to bless us through the reading of his holy word. From the midst of these verses of scripture, let me use for a subject, in the midst of hard times, in the midst of hard times. I wonder if you have ever felt trapped. If you've ever felt like you were at the end of your rope. What do you do when you reach that point? The realist would say, just tie a knot and hang on. The pessimist would say, you might as well let go. It's only going to get worse. But the optimist might say, just tie another knot and keep on climbing. Some of us are in that very place today. Some are at the end of their rope, and there's a long drop beneath you, and you just don't seem to know what to do. What do you do when you're facing problems with your children that you cannot solve? What do you do when your marriage is on the rocks and the crashing waves of hopelessness are unrelenting? What do you do when there are problems at work and it seems that there's no way out for you? What do you do when you have too much month left at the end of your money? What do you do when you have followed a loved one's body to the graveyard and you cannot escape the loneliness, the grief, and the pain? What do you do when your heart is broken, your dreams are shattered, and your hopes have been dashed to bits on the cruel rocks of reality? What do you do when you're walking through a spiritual wasteland and there seems to be no way out for you? See, I don't think anyone but the Lord has the answers to all of those questions. Yet there may be some help in our text today. It tells us about a poor widow woman who was at the end of her rope. She did not know what to do or where to turn. In her pain and her poverty, she did the only thing that she knew she could do. She turned to the Lord. When she did that, God came through for her in a mighty way. You see, the passage teaches us the glorious truth that God has a plan for our problems. See, these verses show us that just as God took care of this widow, he will take care of you. The passage lets us know that when we reach the end of our rope, there's help and there is hope. You see, there was despair in her family, and the scripture said that she cried. The word cried means to moan, to weep emotionally or uncontrollably, to shriek out of grief. This word identifies the sound of her broken heart. The woman comes to the man of God at the lowest moment of her life. She's in desperate straits. She was married to one of the sons of the prophets. You know, those men who were in training under Elisha to be prophets and preachers in Israel. Her husband, her lover, her friend, her provider, her protector had been taken away from her in death. She's broken because her loved one had been taken away. Now, since her husband is dead, she couldn't pay her bills. And as a result, her creditors are coming to take her boys away as slaves so they can work off the debt. You see, this was allowed under the Jewish law. She has been deprived of her husband, and now she's about to lose her sons as well. She's over her head in debt, and she doesn't see how she can make it. Well, in spite of all her problems, she still held firm in the grip of faith. Amen. See, she needs help, but she does not turn to her family or her friends. Does not try to find someone to loan her more money. In her desperation, she turns to the man of God for help. You see, Elijah was God's representative on earth, and he was her best hope. She reminds Elijah that her husband did fear the Lord. You see, her life had been a life of devotion to the Lord, and in her trouble, she still trusts him and turns to him for the things that she stood in need of. In spite of her pain, her problems, and her lack of possibilities, she still looked up to God for the help that she needed. Even though she couldn't see a way out, she knew that she couldn't see everything. So even though she didn't understand everything that she was facing, she still believed that God cared and that he could do something about her situation. So she cried out to him in faith. Now at some point, every person is going to arrive at a very low point in your life. Amen. There's going to come a day when we will reach the end of our ropes. And some may already have been through it and could testify about it today. Others are there right now, and they're looking for some help. Others are going to arrive there someday. Just keep on living. We will all have our days of trouble and trials. And when we reach that point, the world, the flesh, and the devil are all going to tell you that God doesn't see and that he doesn't care about your trouble. The fact is, God does see. He sees everything that we are facing. Not a single thing is hidden from the Lord. And he does care. He cares more than you know about what you are facing. You see, it would have been easy for Elijah to have said, like some of us, okay, sister, you've suffered enough. Lord's going to meet your need. Just go home and wait for him to work. Instead of taking that course, the Lord chose to involve the widow in her own miracle. First, God erased her faith by forcing her to admit what she didn't have. Then God expanded her faith by teaching her trust, humility, and obedience. He does the very same things in our life and in your life also. The Lord erased the widow's faith through two questions asked by Elisha. He said, what do you need and what do you have? Now, these two questions, this woman was made to see the size of her need and the smallness of her resources. You see, she needed everything, and she had very little or nothing. She needed much, but she could not possibly meet her own needs. You see, often God will use our trials, our heartaches, and burdens of life to bring us to a place where we can honestly see our needs and our own inability to meet them. Think about it now. As long as we think we can handle it, well, why should we look to the Lord? Well, you know, you've heard folks say it, I don't bother God for the little things. You bother God for everything, whatever you stand in need of. You see, if you didn't do that, if you had all the answers, why should we turn to God and ask him our questions? But when we stop and honestly answer these two questions, we then realize that we need more than we will ever be able to supply by ourselves. You see, God does this to erase our faith. Now, he's not trying to erase our faith in him. He's trying to erase our faith in ourselves. And as long as we think we can do it, he won't. You see, after God erased her faith in herself and her own abilities, he began the process of expanding her faith in the power of the Lord to meet her need. Again, he does the same thing in our lives also. Elijah's second question, what hast thou in the house, was designed to teach the widow that it may not have looked like she had enough, but in reality, she already had everything that she needed to obtain what she already wanted. Couldn't see it, but God had already given her the very thing she would use to meet her need. Her answer to Elijah is to tell him that all she has is a pot of oil. You see, the oil was probably a small flask, small amount of anointing oil used by the prophets to anoint the men of God. This little flask of oil had sat in the house, no doubt unused since her husband had died. That little insignificant flask of oil would be the answer to her prayers. What we fail to realize is that God has already given us everything we need to get our needs met. You see, the widow said that the answer to her prayers, you said that the actual widow said that the only thing of value that she had was a pot of oil. Yet you have so much more than a pot of oil today. Think about it. If you're saved, if you are a child of God, He has promised to hear your prayers, promised not only to hear them, but to answer your prayers. And not only that, He has promised to meet all your needs. You see, faith moved in the widow's heart. She obeyed the Lord. She borrowed the vessels, and she and her sons shut themselves up in the house and trusted God to do what He had promised to do. Can you imagine the scene in that little home that day? Here's the mother with her sons and all those empty little vessels sitting all over the house, on the shelves, the table, the floor, on the stove. And the man of God said that we were to get us all the vessels we could get. She told her son, God is going to fill every one of these vessels out of this little flask. And with that, the boys handed her the first vessel, and she filled it up. The boys kept handling her vessels, and she filled them up. They kept looking for vessels, and she kept filling them from this little flask of oil. Just kept pouring out oil out of the little bottle until every vessel in the house was filled. And when the day was ended, here was a mother and her children who had learned such a valuable lesson. There in the privacy of the home, they learned that God was all powerful and able to meet every need. Now the neighbors would hear what God had done, and they would know it on an intellectual level. However, the family would know what God had done. Even though it was a public miracle, it was done in the privacy of their hearts. When the Lord shuts us up in a place of total dependence, His people will see Him come through for them time after time. That was Elijah's experience in 1 Kings and 17th verse. That was Daniel's experience in Daniel 6. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's experience in Daniel 3. That was the experience of the 5,000 and more who were fed with those little bit of loaves and fishes in John 6. That was the experience of the disciples on the stormy Sea of Galilee when the Lord reached out and said, peace, be still. This is the experience of Every child of God who is placed in a position of total trust and dependence on the Lord. When the Lord comes through for his people, the work that he does might be widely known, but the greatest work is in the heart of his children. When the Lord moves in power, the child of God receives a lesson in faith that can never be taken away from them. Their faith is expanded, and they will never be the same again. Paul the Apostle, he went from "Who art thou, Lord?" in Acts 9:5 to "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." What made the difference? Well, Paul's faith had been expanded on numerous occasions by the trials of life and the power of God. That's what the Lord is up to in our life, and that's what he's up to in your life. What he does through those areas, he gives us our provisions. The woman and her sons filled one vessel after another until every vessel they had borrowed was full. She began the day with nothing. She ended it with everything. You see, that's what God can do. God would do exactly what he has promised to do. Elijah promised that the Lord would fill the vessels, and he did just that. He will keep all of his promise to you also. Not a single word in a single promise will fall to the ground unfulfilled. God will do everything that he has promised to do. He meant everything he said. He'll do everything he has promised. That's why when he promised in Genesis 3:15 to put enmity between the woman and the serpent, that's why when he promised that a young virgin would give birth to a man child, that's why he promised through Isaiah that the child would be born and called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. That's why when he promised through the prophets that he would be born in a little town called Bethlehem. That's why when he promised that this same Jesus would grow up to be a man, would find himself nailed to an old rugged cross between two thieves, would be put to death, but not a bone would be broken on his body. That's why that he promised and that he would die, but yet he would rise again from the dead. And he promised that he would get up with all power in his hand. And he did get up with all power in his hand. He gave each of us a right to the tree of life once again. I don't know about you, but the widow had faith. I believe some of you had faith when the furlough came to fruition. You had faith because food stayed on your table. You had faith because no one's furniture was placed out on the curb. You had faith because gasoline still went into the tanks of your cars. You had faith because no cars were repossessed. If you stayed with the promises of God, if you know him as Savior, God is able to be with you in the midst of hard times. May God bless you. May he keep you. May we stand, please. The God that we serve is a mighty God. He's a God that keeps all of his promises. if he is a part of your life, those same promises belong to you also. But you require faith in order to receive them. You know, when we finish delivering God's message, there's always hope that what God has to say was the one thing that somebody needed to hear so that they would cross over and accept His Son as Savior in their life. For the Word of God is what convicts. The Word of God is what saves. The Word of God is what causes us to begin to trust, to begin to receive Him into our lives. God's Word has gone out. And I know that His Word was out before you walked into the sanctuary. Perhaps your mother and your grandmother, your husband or your wife, your children, a family friend has been praying with you and for you that you would publicly profess Jesus Christ as Savior. What that means is when I extend an invitation to Christian discipleship, is for you to publicly proclaim Him by stepping out in any aisle. Let me remind you, stepping out in the aisle does not save you. Salvation comes right where you are standing, that very moment. In the twinkling of an eye, you're saved. Even in the midst of the stuff that you have, no matter how bad you might think it is, God still receives you as His own. So if you're here today, you've heard the word, not just here today, but you've been hearing it. It has resonated in your heart. That tugging is the Holy Spirit tugging, trying to get you to accept God's Son. If you've done that and now you would like to publicly proclaim, we ask you to come forward. If thou would just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. It also records that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're not coming for the pastor. You're not coming for the ministers nor the deacons. You're coming to publicly show that Jesus Christ is in your life. So if you're here, this is your opportunity. Step out in the aisle now, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here, perhaps you're one who's already saved. You've received Jesus Christ as Savior. You've already been baptized. You've been a member of a church somewhere. And you've been praying and asking the Lord to guide you to a place of worship, a place whereby you can be in the part of a Christian family, Bible study, Bible preaching, Bible teaching environment. He has guided you here to Shiloh. We would love to have you to come and be a part of this fellowship. We ask you to come at this hour also. You may come either on your Christian experience or by letter. This opportunity is for you also. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? This is your opportunity. The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended to all who are within the sound of my voice. If you're here, will you come? Will you come? will you come? Amen. Amen. We bless God. It's prayer time in Shiloh. Those of you who know the work and the worth of prayer, we ask you to come to the altar at this time.
Yes, church, it is no secret. Every last one of us, we gave you a mic. You don't even need a mic. You can just say what God has done for you. And in essence, it shouldn't be a secret. We should share the goodness of the Lord with each and every one that we come in contact with. That's our role as believers and followers of Christ. Let us pray. Eternal and merciful God, our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We pause this minute, a moment we call altar call. God, we thank you that we're able to assemble in this house. God, we thank you that Pastor reminded us in hard times.
Yes.
In hard times. To remember God. Said, in everything, give thanks. And that in everything means there's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some things that we just are at our wits' end. But as we look to the hills, from which cometh our help, our help still continues to come from God.
Yes.
So God, we say thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for reminding us, Lord God. It didn't take this furlough, God, to remind us in the midst of hard times, you are still with us.
Yes. Thank you.
We thank you, God, not just furlough workers. We got, God, those that are sick. Those minds that just aren't right, Lord God. Those relationships, God, that just aren't right. We're at our wits' end. But God, hear us as we pray. God, you've already provided us an outcome. You've already provided us a blessing. So God, I pray that we can act like, God, that you've already blessed us. Act like God is coming. The promise may be postponed, but it's still coming. So God, we're going to praise you anyhow, as hard as we can, because we know your word is not false. You are not a God that lies. You said you will supply our needs according to your riches in glory, not according to what the government said. Your riches in glory. God, you own the world, and we thank you for it. We pray right now, God, we give you praise, God, for I'm looking at that sick list, Lord. A sick list has some names on it, God, but I'm thanking God right now. There's some in the house that are thanking God because they're no longer sick.
Amen.
They've been healed, Lord God. You blessed them. You restored them, Lord God. So we say thank you, Lord, in the midst of their hard times or their suffering. At their sickness, God, you were still there. In the midnight hour, God, when they were crying, Lord God, you were still there. So God, we say thank you. We say thank you, God, for what you can do, God, what you continue to do through us, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, God, for my sister Kelly.
Yes.
As she went down, God, I said, okay, she's just going down for a setup, God. You're going to bless her anyhow. Yes. Satan is trying to take her out, God, but thank you for holding her, Lord God. Thank you for keeping her, Lord God. Thank you for keeping her strong, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Kelly ain't the only one, Lord God, that the devil's just been biting at everybody's coattails lately, Lord God. But we know, God, that we are the victors. We are the victors, Lord God. We thank you for the victory, God. And let's walk like we're in victory, God. Not walk like we're in shame. Walk like we got some, like we know we got Christ in us. He is victorious. We are victorious. Lord God, we thank you. We thank and praise you, Lord God. We pray for everything, God. We thank you for those that are assembled in this house, Lord God. Whatever their concerns are, whether hard times or great times, God, we say thank you. God, we say thank you with the fruit of our lips, Lord God. We're not going to be sour mouth, Lord God. We're going to say thank you. We are happy to say thank you, God, because without you, we could do nothing, Lord God. You allowed us this day, God. You breathed into us, God. You exhaled and said, good morning. You got a new day on your hands. You gave us new mercies this day. So, God, we're going to say thank you again. We're going to say thank you again. Lord God, I pray that we take this message the pastor preached. Every last morsel of it, Lord God. There's some nuggets, Lord God, that we can take throughout the week. We pray, God, that we can continue to remember in the midst, God, that you are there. And as Pastor mentioned, he's already given us what we need to get us there. We got to realize, release what we can't do and realize God can do all things. God can do all things. God said, sometimes just step aside. Yeah. Just step aside or kind of reflect on the goodness of God. I brought you through this last month. I brought you through that last year. I brought your family through this yesterday. You are God that continues to give, continues to bless. And I pray, God, that we can be mindful of not only your blessing, but our responsibility as the followers of Christ to study your word, to have faith. Have that working faith, Lord God, that we can continue to give you praise, glory, and honor. God, we love you this day, God. We thank you for all things that you continue to bestow in us, through us, Lord God, and it's for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, we thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now unto him who can able to save you, now unto him who's able to keep you. In the name of Jesus, we pray that he blesses us, he keeps us, give us peace throughout the day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.